not trying to blow my own horn, but there were girls that stood around my cubicle, like, waiting for me to come out to be like, we know you from TikTok.
Every time I'm scared. See you, it's the crisis buffer.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my gosh, there's my other thing. I don't own a coat. That is my coat.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN. We've got Izzy Hunter with us, who is the famed head of daytime.
Gosh, hello, hello.
And does the Izzy and Izzy show.
I do indeed.
Although, not to call you out or anything, it tends to be one Izzy at a time.
We've been doing the... I was just talking about it on air, actually. We've been doing the Izzy and Izzy show for about 2 years now. And because we're both doing master's degrees, our timetables do not sync up at all.
No.
And it hasn't been like that since last term. So we've kind of... We've got our slot, because I had to, you know, pick a slot for the schedule. But it's very much like... If Diz suddenly, like, her uni gets cancelled or her work gets cancelled, then she'll be able to come in. But if not, if there's a free slot at all during the week, then
you
we might jump onto that one, or like cover other. It's kind of a bit loose. We're going to cover other people's slots if they can't make it. But at the moment, it is just me in the scheduled slot. But we'll see how it goes.
It will happen. It will happen. Yeah. And you had all of last year as well together properly. So.
Oh yeah, we've done it for ages. So it's not like the end of the world.
But. How did you get into radio? Did you get into it with the both of you planning to do it together, or did you meet? Because of radio.
Yeah, so we actually met before uni. We met on a uni group chat.
Wow.
For English for our course.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was like from that group chat, somebody said, does anyone like musical theatre? And I said, yes, I do. I love musical theatre. And Izzy said, I do as well. So we made a group chat, and there was probably about 10 of us in this musical theatre group chat. And Izzy was one of them, so was I. And I was a bit of a fangirl of Izzy beforehand, because she would put loads of messages in the chat, and I just thought, oh, she's so me. Like, we're just the same person.
Yeah, was she like the iconic person in the group chat that you're like, I wish I could be friends with her?
Oh, exactly that. I was so kind of in awe of her. And there was like a whole scandal thing, and she put a Shrek meme in, and I was like, oh, so me. And this is very 2019, so
yeah,
this is very much like, you know, memes and all that. And then I didn't stalk her, but I did, yeah. We added each other on Snapchat, we all shared our Snapchat or something, and I actually messaged her about something that she'd said in the group chat privately. And she said to me she had no idea who I was, but I knew who she was. And so she kind of replied being like, who are you? And then from then, we met at uni on the first night of uni, because she invited all that musical theatre group chat to hers for pre's before the music and mixer thing. I don't know whether you did that. You were COVID, that's what I was thinking.
So, no.
It was like the Portland building held this kind of social on the very first night that everyone moved in, like on the Saturday. And it was very interesting. It was just like a bit awkward. Everyone didn't know each other.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, it was weird.
But it's always awkward and weird to start with.
Oh, no, definitely. And... Yeah, so I met her in person then, and then we got into radio because we knew Holly Madden, who was the previous head of daytime then. We knew her from English, and actually, Holly, I'm going to call you out here, she knew me from TikTok. So Holly, Izzy got in touch with Holly or something like that.
Yeah.
They kind of became friends, and then Holly was like, I've actually got a free slot on daytime if you want a demo for it. And we were actually thinking at the time making a YouTube channel or like doing a podcast or
something
by
together,
ourselves. Yeah. So then when URN came along, we were like, oh, that makes sense. And the show went from
there.
I'd
say then you got scouted.
Yes, kind of. Yeah, it was. There was a whole thing with the uni invited the Westboro Baptist Church to the uni.
I remember that.
Yeah, and Izzy was the one who started the petition to stop them from coming.
Okay.
Yeah. So Holly got in touch and was like, I'm from URN, can we do an interview? And then they became friends through that, and then that was it.
That makes sense. Yeah. So you got sort of dragged into it almost a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to do it, but it was that making that first step to get into
so
it.
Did you start in second year for you then?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Doing it as long as I have.
Yes. Yeah, oh my God, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because first year kind of got cut off by COVID for us. It was that.
And mine started with that.
Yes, yeah.
And kept going with that. Anyway, we don't talk about COVID.
Vibes.
This is a COVID-free space.
Yes, no COVID.
I hope we physically don't have COVID, but also just general good vibes. That's what we're going for.
I like it.
That's the theme. You mentioned TikTok.
Yeah.
I have to ask.
Teehee.
When did your TikTok start? When did you become this ultra famous TikToker who has millions of views?
I wish. So you know what? Funny, I was thinking about this on the way in because I was thinking like, what sort of things could Erin ask me? And I was like, this might be something that could come up. So I actually started it. It was early 2020, right after TikTok became a bit of a thing.
Yeah.
It was like it was just growing as a platform.
It was the name change. Musical.ly was yes. cringe and embarrassing. Yeah. I think we were a bit too old for that. I remember my sisters loving yes. it. They're a couple years younger. And they shared a room and they would like make Musical.ly's together watching them when they'd show them to me. And you know when you're the older sister and you're like, I can't crush your dreams, but you're so cringe.
Yeah.
And it was just embarrassing to watch.
It was the dances and all that, yeah.
But also they were young enough that it was okay and yeah. actually it was cool for them and yeah. I just didn't want to, you know, burst their bubbles.
Yeah. We were too old for that, definitely, because I remember yes. looking at the younger people in the school and thinking, it's weird.
And then as soon as it changed its name to TikTok, it was like, this is quite fun, actually. It's maybe I'll download yeah. it.
It was fun. Everyone liked doing the dances. And also, it's just a good platform to... It's so easy to go viral. It's so easy because it's not like YouTube where you have to kind of...
play the algorithm a little bit.
Play the algorithm and try and get clicks. That's like the thing for YouTube. Yes. Otherwise, if you don't watch it, then no one's going to like it or follow you. But you've got to get that first click to get onto your channel.
It's all about the thumbnails these days.
Yeah, yeah. But with TikTok, it's like forced upon you because you're scrolling through it and it's just there. And like you've got no choice but to watch it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why I really liked it because like, it was just you could scroll for hours and there was no like, let me choose. There was no decision. You just
watch it. That's what it is,
I think,
about TikTok is, you know, I go on whatever streaming platform, let's say Netflix. Mm-hmm. Hashtag no spawn for Netflix. No. Don't deserve my spawn. But I'll go on that, and then I mean, they do have the function now where they just shuffle and give you something because they know people giving people so much choice. It's so hard to pick. Because I'm like, oh, I could watch that, but I feel like I'll find something better. Mm-hmm. And even with YouTube, there's so much on there
yeah.
that you just don't know how to pick through it. But TikTok, it's like, oh, yeah, no, let me tell you what you want.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. And I'm so indecisive as well, so it was easy. And it was yes, it was end of first year for me, right before COVID hit, that I actually saw this girl from UON who was in Broadgate, and she was making TikToks about student life and just funny things, using sounds to be like yeah. me when I leave a lecture at 10 a.m. or whatever. And I saw that and I thought, I want to do that. And literally, no joke, just completely copied her, like completely ripped off her idea and got more followers than her. So I still feel bad to this day, but oh well.
We're setting the record straight if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't think she's at uni anymore because she was my year.
Oh yeah. Probably.
So she would have left by now, but oops. I don't know if I ever. I don't know. But also everyone kind of started doing it at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think not to toot my own horn, but I think it was me and that other girl were like the first ones from UON to that, from what I saw, to do that kind of student video thing. And then it was like a couple of videos just went quite big. I had 300,000 views on one video, which was big at the time.
I would say still and, is, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's still quite hard to get that because I feel like... So. From making Erin and Joe show TikToks, you know, some of them will... I think the best we've had is 1,500 or something like that. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm amazing. Famous. I love
but
it.
Again, it's that sort of thing where it's like, you don't pick who's seeing it. You yeah. don't know. And sometimes we'd have one that would get like 800 views and one then it would be 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So I really was like, I don't know what came over me, but I was like, I want to do this and I want to make it a thing. And I got a rush from it. So I would... I studied the algorithm basically. Mm. I knew what hashtags to use, who to target. So I targeted UON students because
yeah.
people would then comment and be like, "Oh, she goes to UON," or "That looks like this course."
That looks like my uni. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And those comments would then generate more views. I really went into it, and then what else? I would post 3 times a day at specific times, 9 a.m, midday, and in the afternoon, 3 videos. Literally, I did this for like 3 weeks in a row, and it just went. So I then got 5,000 followers in the first couple of weeks, which was terrifying. And I went into Rock City, and I went into the bathroom of Box, which was like the queue bit before Crisis.
Yeah.
And I came out of the bathroom and I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but there were girls like stood around my cubicle like waiting for me to come out to be like, we know you from TikTok. And she was like, hello. And this girl came up to me and was like, you said like, oh, I've seen you on TikTok, but I said to myself, if I saw you in person, I wouldn't come say hi, but I had to come say hi. I suddenly was like, oh, God, I'm famous. This is mad.
Have you had a few sort of instances like that? And is it normally at Crisis?
It was really in first year before COVID. It was like, I would say a couple of people every time I went out, which was just insane. So, and it blew my mind. I was like, it was so fun. I loved it. But recently as well, someone in Ocean came up to me. Well, actually, I walked past them and I just heard, she's from TikTok. And I was like, oh, hello. And I turned around and was like,
yes, I am.
Yes, I am. And then she took a selfie with me, which was so strange. But also people kind of, oh, I feel like I'm really tooting my own horn here. Sorry.
Go for it.
But, ooh. What's it? Because I do crisis as well now, so I'm the social media.
Yes, that is something else I was wanted to ask you
about. So I do the social media for crisis, so I kind of post myself on there quite a lot. People come up to me saying, oh, you do the crisis.
You're the girl on crisis.
Yeah, so that's my social media story. It's quite embarrassing, really.
Interesting. But, yeah. I'm honest, I think it's the kind of thing everyone wants to do, but everyone's that little bit too scared. So I'm so impressed you went, you know what, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
I figured it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And you just went, I'm just going to post.
Yeah, I was quite lucky, and I feel like I'm on the Graham Norton show, I'm making myself laugh, you know, when they're like, I was quite lucky when this happened. But
you are also on a reddish coloured chair.
Yes. Very oh my Graham God, Norton. Yes, no, I am. Oh, I love it. But no, I did feel like I just kind of got it straight away, and I've had so many opportunities from it as well, which is brilliant. I worked with Udi, you know, the...
Did you? Mm.
So they sent me a free one, which was brilliant. Did a hashtag like gifted
one
thing.
I love it.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they? They're brilliant. Ollie's stolen mine, but
Dom uses mine. Dom uses mine, and I'm like, and it was just before Christmas, you know, when it was getting really cold. And I said to him, I was like, do you want one for Christmas? I'll buy you one for Christmas. He said, no, there's no fun in that. I want your pink one.
Yeah. Ollie's got my pink one. Yeah.
And he calls it my princess gown because he says I look like a princess. I'm a princess, like I'm not going to do anything all day, like you have to do all the kind of thing. And then he's the one wearing it the whole
time. That's so brilliant, that's so funny.
Men are all the same.
They're all the same, yeah. Well, I've got a red one that I won from a uni salad competition. It's red and it's got pizza on it. And then I've got this pink tie-dye one. Ollie wants the pink tie-dye one. I'm like, do you not want the pizza one? He's like, no, I'm not. I like the pink tie-dye
one.
I
like my pink one, and I'm this close to getting him his own one. But also, I don't want to have to buy him it.
Yeah, that's Benny.
I know.
Just get an ad with them.
You know what it was? My mum got it for me because in first year, my heating didn't work very well in my room. There was a button you'd press and it would turn on for 20 minutes and then turn off. So every evening, because I fell asleep, I'd wake up freezing in the middle of the night.
Oh, God.
And my mum went, I've heard about these things.
Yeah.
And she just sent me one. And my mum was a little bit known for sending me massive packages in first year. Like I live overseas. My mum didn't get to move me into uni. It was only my dad. So she really felt like she missed out. And so anytime I'd be like, yeah, mum, you know, student halls, I don't have a bin. She'd send me a bin and it would be the biggest, nicest bin, which I really appreciated. But I was like, mum, this is actually so inconvenient.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
And she would just send me like little things every so often just to be like, you mentioned you needed food, I've sent you a 500 pack of mini cheddars or something.
No, that's
like that.
So cute.
Such a mum thing to do, especially with COVID and like couldn't be there physically. So it was really sweet, and so that's where my princess gown came from.
Can I ask you a question?
So
what was it like moving overseas, especially during COVID as well?
It was a lot. I mean, I'd always wanted to be back in England because when I was younger, I was like, I've been taken away from my home when we moved, because I was 10 when we moved and it was not my choice, obviously. When you're 10 years old, you're not getting involved in the moving decisions. And so it was always like, I want to go back to England. I want to go back to England. It was always the dream, the goal. Yeah. I didn't care where, I didn't care what. I just wanted to be where I was like, in my head was my home a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it was lovely, but it was all so different.
Mm-hmm.
And very different from like where my grandparents live, because my grandparents live in like rural Hampshire.
Yeah.
Not on a farm, but close enough. You know, it's like little villages and then you have to drive 10 minutes to get to the next village kind of vibes. So it was a lot. It was, especially with COVID when I first moved. And it was really, you know what it was? It was tricky when I wanted to go home.
Yeah.
It was tricky when I was seeing my friends go home every weekend and not having that. And I could go home. I'd have to, during COVID, I needed to do a PCR test like 48 hours before and hope that it was positive. I had to book transport, and trains and planes were a little bit few and far between. So I was like, okay, I need to make this like work. And it was a bit of a faff.
Yeah.
And it's just like that extra step to doing it always was like, no, I can wait it out. I can wait out till Christmas. And then it would get to beginning of November and I'd be like, Mum, I'm coming home.
Yeah. Oh, no, fair enough. Yeah, it was a faff I remember thinking I could better go. I can't imagine what it was like for you, because I was stressed to go home in case I took COVID home.
Yeah.
And it was quite difficult to get PCRs and stuff in like that first term for you, like October 2020.
Yes, I went to Boots, but I had to go to the big Boots that's like two buses away.
Oh,
and
God.
It was a pain.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was just logistical. That was the issue, really.
Yeah.
But made it work. And as much as I say that, you know, it was tough, I was fine. You know, I was happy to be away from home. I was happy to be in England. Before we go into other stuff, we're kind of, this section of the podcast, what I like to think is like the origins of you on and radio and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you go into uni knowing you wanted to do radio or wanted to do media of some sort? And were you, I mean, obviously we mentioned you got kind of dragged into it almost. I'm going to still use the word scouted. I really like that.
That's a fun word. Yeah.
Was that kind of a goal? Was it on your radar? Were you thinking about like NSTV even or Impact to start with? Because you found yourself doing a master's at Trent, we have to mention. Yes. You are working to get a broadcast journalism master's.
I'm indeed.
So clearly it's a passion.
Yes. So actually, I have always wanted to do broadcast journalism. Like always. My dream was to be a Blue Peter presenter. And if we went to parties where we could dress up as who we wanted to be when we were older, I dressed up as Helen Skelton or had a little Blue Peter badge and with a microphone. Like all the time. I even wrote my personal statement for my undergraduate in English. I wrote that I want to do English, but I want to go into journalism, specifically broadcast. That's literally is on my like starting paragraph. And there's videos of me going to like BBC tours from when I was like 10. I went to a Blue Peter show. I had this weird obsession with microphones as well when I was younger. I don't know what it was, but there's a video of me when I was about 5 going on stage, and I can't sing, but just holding the microphone, just talking into it on stage in front of about 2,000 people.
You just wanted the microphone.
I just wanted to hold the microphone. Yeah. I wanted to talk into it, and there was something about that like fascinated me. I know it sounds like an origin story, but there's a video of me like reading the news at this Blue Peter event thing that we went to in London in 2012 for the Olympics, and it's me going like, "Hi, I'm Isabel, and I'm the next Blue Peter presenter," or something, and it's in like a full green screen studio and everything. So I just, the idea of like presenting and talking just fascinated me, and I spoke to my head of sixth form about doing journalism at uni, and he was like, my school was quite pretentious is the right word, and he was like, no, you can't do that, you don't go into journalism, go into something broader, and then specify later on in case you change your mind. And I was like, you know what, fair enough, that makes sense.
That is good advice. However, if you know what you want to do, you might as well stick to it.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, fair enough, I'll do English, because then you can get all the writing skills or the, you know, all of that, and if I don't want to do journalism after, then I don't have to do it, I can go into something else. I was also thinking like publishing, all that sort of stuff. And then it just kind of stuck, really. And I came into uni and I started Impact, like, from 2019.
Okay.
And I wrote, like, one article. And then I got so stressed about it because I was like, I don't know whether I've done it right. And I thought it was, like, a massive deal, but it's not that big of a deal. Do you know what I mean?
No. And everyone at Impact, it's really hard, especially in first year, to remember everyone else's students.
Yes. Yeah.
You see these older students, and in my mind, they were almost, like, my elders, my teachers.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't. But then I got over that eventually. I think second definitely. Year as well, you go, no, actually, we're all just the same. We're all just in the same boat.
There was something about being a fresher where I just thought they're all going to be not take me seriously at all. Mm. And I was like, there's no way. I was just so scared. So I didn't start URN. I didn't even think of URN. You know why? Because I just didn't think I would be any, not good at it, but I thought I wouldn't get in, or like I wouldn't.
Yeah, that'd be
I was like, how can I do? How can I do a show? But like, I couldn't be on radio. Like I just couldn't. It's too big. It's too much. So I did. I started with Impact. And I met someone who I went on a couple of dates with, and he wrote for the Tab, and he was third year, and he was like, oh yeah, I write for the Tab, like, it's so cool. But now, like, looking back on it, I'm like, yeah, at the time I was like, that's amazing, he's my way in, he's my journalist way in. But yeah, wrote for Impact, did a couple of articles, and then obviously COVID hit. So didn't do anything. I wasn't part of any societies for ages. And then I started writing for Impact October 2019, and then it was March 2021 that we got into URN. And then between that time, so second year, so October 2020 until March 2021, I did quite a few interviews for Impact with musicians. So I interviewed Scouting for Girls, I did Palace, Orla Gartland, I think I did that kind of when I was at URM, but it was for Impact. And that was like, oh my god, this is sick, like I love interviewing people, and that was really fun. And then got into URN, and it just all kind of worked out. And obviously now I was like, oh brilliant, that's URN's great, because I always wanted to do broadcast journalism, and here I am.
And now and I guess it's also a nice sort of practice and going, actually no, I can do this.
Yes. Oh yeah, definitely.
And now you've met everyone else at URN, you've probably learned none of us know what we're doing.
No, exactly.
And if someone looks like they know what they're doing, they can get out.
I don't know what I'm doing.
That's not the energy we have. We're students. We're very aware. This is student media.
Student radio, yeah.
It's great, though. Please listen to all the podcast episodes.
We love you, RN. Tune in. But yeah, no, it was one of those things. I always wanted to do it, but I just never knew how the way in. And I tried to do little things. So I wrote for a student magazine at school in sixth form. I wrote for a social media magazine as well called 1080 UK, which is disbanded now. But that was like reporting on internet culture and influencers and stuff, which I thought was so fun. Did that over lockdown. And then now here we are.
I've remembered the thing, my big question that I was
yes.
So there's a question I've been asking everyone, mm-hmm. and it's, radio is such a non-visual thing. How could your fans recognise you? You know, if they've only heard you on the Izzy mm-hmm. and Izzy show, what's your iconic piece of clothing? Now, obviously, yourself are iconic because your TikTok followers are recognising you. But, and I am asking this, I have an answer for you, but I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. I want to see if you, what you come up with. What do you think?
I know, I think
like
I know.
Like your go-to thing you wear on campus.
My brown trousers. Is that what you were, that's
no,
what I was
that
thinking
wasn't,
of.
But that is a really good
yeah.
one.
I've got these kind of Primark brown and white trousers. I literally, this is embarrassing, I own like three pairs of trousers and three pairs of jeans, as in like three in total. So these blue ones, another pair of blue ones and brown ones, just because I can never find, I've got really like long legs and awkward back size and stuff. I had scoliosis surgery, it was the whole thing. But I can never find jeans that fit ever, so I just don't buy them. But I would say my brown, but yeah, I don't know what, oh, what were you thinking of? What?
It's more of a recent thing. Every time
I'm
I
scared.
See you, it's the crisis puffer.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my gosh. No, yeah. There's my other thing. I don't own a coat. That is my coat. Yeah, I wear my crisis jacket because it's so warm and it was free. Yes. So
and
why
it's
not?
It's quite cool, actually. I feel like having the crisis branding, because people that don't know about the club will just think you're like, oh, what's crisis?
It's like a designer like- brand. Yeah. That's so fun. I like that. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Yeah.
And I think that is definitely more of a recent thing, but I feel like every time I'm seeing you now, and I must mention we are both wearing our Urine Tap hoodies.
We are matching today, yes.
Which is also, no one's mentioned that, but most people just wear their Urine hoodies all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's
very
true.
I try not to wear mine too much.
Yeah.
But I do.
We've got a joke with Ollie that all of my clothes are free. They're all merch. So it's like this, like I wear my black Yoren hoodie, obviously the crisis puffer. I've got about a dozen t-shirts of like Uni Homes, Uni Salad, just things that people have sent me, or like, it's actually so embarrassing. Or that I've just, people would be like, oh, can you make this video for us? We'll send you something to wear in it and you can keep that. So I just like accumulated hoodies of different brands.
And that's what you want.
Good. I know.
Hoodies are unnecessarily expensive when people give them out for free.
Yes, I know.
They're like £40 most of the time if you want them.
Oh my gosh.
Or like £30, £40. And I'm like,
it's ridiculous.
No, thank you.
So yeah.
You mentioned interviewing.
Yes.
That's now a passion, a hobby of yours.
Love it.
What's your favourite one you've done? It can be music, it can be other kind of general stuff you've done with.
It has to be the Orla Gartland interview with Impact. I've listened to Orla for years, like years and years, probably since 2016, I think. And obviously I love Dodie and she's in Dodie's band. And it was a bit of a thing. Again, this was before the TikTok era. This was April 2019, so a full year before I started TikTok. I made a video where I said I look like Orla Gartland because she's got ginger hair and I also had short ginger hair at the time.
Okay.
And we just kind of look quite similar. I have the same clothes as her. And I made this TikTok where I was like, oh look, I look like her, lol, funny. And it blew up and she saw it and reposted it on all her social medias. I went to one of her concerts in November 2019 and again, it was at that kind of period, people were coming up to me saying, you're the girl who looks like Orla Gartland from Twitter and all this.
Oh, that's so funny.
Where was I going with this from this story? Interview. Yeah, so then I was speaking to Gemma, who's the head of Impact Music at the time, Gemma Cockrell, who did URM for a bit. And she was like, is there a dream interview that you want? I was like, Orla Gartland. Like, she's, if I interview her, I'm done with my career. Like, she's the top. And she was just like, yeah, I could get that for you. And I was like, are you joking? So she emailed her PR, she emailed her manager, and Orla just released an album. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. We can do an interview on Zoom next week. And I was freaking out. I was mad. Did the whole interview, it was like 20 minutes. She recognised me, which was brilliant. She opened the call and she was like, oh, Izzy, like, it's nice to see you back again. I was like, hello. Interview was great. Like, I learned so much about her music and all that. And then I posted on Twitter that I'd interviewed her. And then again, that blew up because everyone was like, this is sick, like a couple of years later. So yeah, that's definitely my favourite.
That's such a cool story as well. I will say, you did mention Dodie briefly there. Before I knew who you were named on the group chat as Dodie lookalike.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
No, because it's not that. I was meant to be all a Gartner lookalike. I don't look anything like Dodie. I think there was a meme because I've got these blue light glasses and Dodie wears glasses. I don't know. I've got no idea. But I didn't, because you know you can't see that on your phone. You can't see what your nickname is. I didn't really know it was there for like ages. And then recently I just saw someone's phone. I was like, why is it still that from a year ago? So I do apologise.
But that's how I knew you. But then I remember thinking, okay, so she must look like Dodie because my best friend was the biggest Dodie fan I've ever known. And to be fair, she actually kind of does look like Dodie. But I think she also kind of wanted to model herself after Dodie. And it was quite nice when I was like, I don't know many people at URN, but I know someone else likes Dodie, so I must be in the right sort of group of people.
I love it. I'm obsessed with Dodie. She's great.
As you should be. She's also had good music.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. She was an important part of, as I say, it was my best friend who was obsessed with her. So through that, obviously, that's what best friends are for, to tell you what to like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very, as we've mentioned, TikTok tells me what I want.
Yeah.
I'm very malleable. Just tell me what I should listen to and I'll listen to it. I'm that simple. So Orla Gartland is the big favourite.
Yes, definitely.
And I love the story that goes along with
Thank you. So I've got a story for everything. I do apologise.
As you should. That's the whole point. I want to hear all the stories. And we mentioned you're now doing broadcast journalism, but you did do an English degree beforehand.
Yes.
How did you find your English degree, kind of just in general?
I liked it. I think my favourite part of it, we did a theatre making module. So I did drama A-level as well. Mm. And I never really liked literature that much, but I was doing English. So I was like, oh, I'll kind of have to do it. But what I liked about this course was that it was so broad in that you didn't just have to do literature. You could do language and drama as well, or medieval if you wanted to. Mm. So I pretty much dropped literature quite early on and did drama and language, which was great because I did, like, third year was my favourite because I did language and feminism, and we got to literally analyse a journalism piece and see why it was like feminist or not or anything like that. And the theatre making was this time last year we started it. We got to create and produce a piece of theatre in a group with about 16 of us and do the behind the scenes of it. So I did the marketing, like I did the social media for it, which is obviously what I love. And it was so much fun because it was so practical, and coming from COVID and just sitting in my room and writing essays for the last couple of years, that last bit, and that was like the last thing I did for my degree, apart from my dissertation, was just, you know, going into uni every day and doing practical stuff and playing Splat before lessons. And it was great. I felt like I was back at GCSEs again. So, you know, looking back at it, I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't have changed it for anything. Yeah.
We did do a lot of my English teacher I didn't do A levels, but those years for our exams, she loved theatre, was very involved in theatre. Mm. I think almost would have been a drama teacher, but she was an English teacher. So we just did plays. It was mainly just, she picked all the stuff that would mean we get to do the most amount of drama and theatre stuff. And so all the people in my class were all my friends, who were all the people who did theatre and were doing theatre for their kind of school stuff.
Yeah.
And we would just go, instead of reading out the book, we'd read out the plays. We would act them out. Like, we're sitting in our desks, but there was a lot of emotion and just making it fun.
Very nice.
And I do forget that English and drama are basically the same thing.
Yeah. Because we did a lot of writing about plays as well, but it was the practical side that I liked, so.
That's really fun. That was one of my questions. Favourite module?
Yeah, like that one. Theatre making.
Have you found your new degree, as I'll call it, is a lot different, but it's still got a lot of a practical nature to it?
Oh gosh, it's so much harder. It's you know what, it's so hard because I love journalism and I like talking to people, but it's trying to find new people to talk to and reach out to people and be like, hello, I'm doing a package on this, I'm doing a story on this, can I talk to you? And a lot of the time it's no. So, and you've got a strict deadline to work to and all of this, but it's fun and it's rewarding at the end of it as well, because it's so great when you spend a long time editing or filming something and then you send it off and you get good feedback on it, or
you did well.
And yeah, you're like, yes,
hours of
yes
life.
Yeah. So it's rewarding. It's a lot harder than the undergraduate, big step up, because it's like 3 years in one.
Yes.
So we've got deadlines. I've got a deadline 2 weeks, whereas I literally had an exam 2 days ago and I've got something due in the next week. So I haven't stopped since that exam. You know, when you're like, oh, I'll have a day off. Like, I can't.
You don't.
But that's fine. And I like it. I like being busy. And it's the last year of my education ever, so I'm kind of trying to save
it. PhD?
No. Never. That's like 4 years, isn't it?
They're a lot.
No, I don't have the money for that. This is enough.
You're done. You're ready for work.
I am ready for work. I need some money.
Yes. The crisis aren't paying enough these days.
Hashtag ad.
That's what it is. Again, kind of going a little bit off on my questions I like to ask everyone. If you were to go on something like Mastermind.
Yes.
What would be your specialist subject?
Oh my gosh. Have you seen BBC Ghosts? Or Ghosts
I've
on BBC?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Brilliant TV show.
Finish that. That's one of my ones that I'm the worst at finishing TV shows because I'll spend like an afternoon, I'll watch however many episodes I can do in that afternoon, and then I forget it exists, and I never watch it again until like years later, and I go, oh, I should finish that.
Yeah. It's such a good TV show. I was watching it last night, but there was someone on Mastermind a couple of months ago who their subject was ghosts.
Yes, I did actually see
that. Yeah. And I was like, that's brilliant. I would love to do that. I didn't get all the answers correct. I was actually quite bad because I hadn't watched it. I like to watch it on repeat like every few months, but it was one of the months I didn't watch it, so I hadn't seen it since like summer, so I didn't get all the answers right.
Also,
but
you know it's going to be a topic, you're going to study it.
Definitely. I didn't study for it, so that's why. But something along these lines, or like Motherland, because I watch a lot of, and again this is a joke within like my friendship group and Ollie and stuff, but I just watch the same TV shows on repeat and I don't watch anything else. The three are Motherland, Ghosts and Sex Education, and that's it. And there's nothing, I haven't watched a new TV show in years, which is quite embarrassing. And I was in my lecture the day and I said this to someone, and I was like, oh, I'm on a rotation of Motherland at the moment. And they were like, that's really weird. Like, you should watch something else. And I was just like, no, I don't want to. There you go. That's my fun fact on the day.
So any of those three, you could probably
Yeah, I think so.
And it'll give you an excuse to watch it. And
yeah, exactly.
And no one can judge you for it.
No. That or TikTok probably.
Sort of like a finish the TikTok trend. I've seen someone do, I feel like, finish the Vine or something like that before. Something along those lines. Yeah. Do you watch a lot of TikTok then?
I do. I'm on my phone 24/7. I said, again, sorry, I'm going off the topic, but I said to a girl in my course when we were about to go into the exam, I was like, is it bad that I'm more stressed for the exam because we can't go on our phone for 2 hours and like my phone won't be with me for 2 hours? And she was like, yeah, that's really bad. I was like, okay, but yeah, no, I'm on my phone 24/7.
Do you need to, I don't know, lock it away?
Do you need help?
Have you ever tried that, like a phone detox?
I can't even now. I don't think I've been on it since we started.
No, you haven't.
Sure, I'm a bit like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
No, I will say, me and my dad, every time if we're going on holiday, it will only be us two, no one else in my family wants to do it. We'll do one day without a phone, 24 hours. So it'll be one morning we'll put our phones in a room or like give them to my mum or something and don't touch them for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like the only day of the holiday I'll read.
Yeah, I know what I mean. Yeah.
Or I'll make sure, or I'm like, okay, I need to do something with my day or whatever. It is fun. I do recommend doing a day, otherwise you go a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, if people, I want to talk to my friends, I want to see what's going on. And with TikTok, if you miss a day of TikTok, I mean,
you're just lost in the world, aren't you?
I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what? The tart trip?
Yeah.
What's going, what?
Yeah.
What is this?
I swear there's so many times where if I haven't been on my phone for, let's say, the exam period, like a couple of hours, always something happens in those 2 hours. Or someone texts me being like, I need your help or something like that. I think I'm constantly like, I need to make sure that everything's okay.
And not just you, it's also everyone around you.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. Yeah. All my friends, I'm like, if they need something, what if I can't be there? What if my phone isn't on?
You're gonna miss that text that says, I'm sobbing uncontrollably. Yeah. Please call me.
Yeah. So, bit of an issue, but it's fine.
It's fine. How do you find the Trent campus?
I prefer UON, obviously.
My question is, what's your favourite spot, favourite location to go to on campus? And because
this
kind of got, it can be either. I mean, I won't understand the Trent references.
Yeah,
to
be honest, no, sure. I used to love Monty P.
Monty P.
Sorry, I'm old.
It is bad. They changed it year after.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
For my year, it was always Monica Park.
It was always Monty
but
P. Yeah.
Everyone I know who's the year older call it TNL.
I can't stop calling it, and I haven't, even though it's been Monty P since COVID, which is like pretty much my entire degree. It was literally TNL for the first couple of months of my degree.
Yeah.
I still can't stop calling it TNL. Monica Partridge. I used to love, which I had six. I like the views and I like the big trees and all that, massive windows, and it was quite bright. But I also like Hallwood bottom floor.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. It feels cozy. Space. Yeah, it feels very cozy. Obviously love this room, this office, URL. I think that I would say
places.
We used to go to the Hallwood Cafe a lot in between lectures and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Because we were in Monty P for English. For every lecture, it was always AO3 in Monty P or TNL. So then we would go to the Hallwood Cafe if we had like an hour off all together and then go back.
I didn't know that was where English is. I always assumed it was in the Trent building.
There's no lecture theatres in the Trent building. So it was like lectures. In first year, it was the entire, and then second, third year, it was broken up. It's like 300, I think.
Friends I have that do subjects that are in the Trent building, they're always in the Trent building, but that's also because they have smaller cohorts.
Yeah.
Whereas English is massive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone lives a bit of English.
So yeah, we've been TNL a couple times a week, Monopy, and then Trent building for like seminars a couple times a week. That was it, really.
Quite nice.
Yeah.
I prefer those buildings to Trent building. Ever warm to the Trent building?
Like as in the Trent, this Trent building.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I mean, I did theatre making in there, so it's got somewhere. That's the drama studio,
the performing arts space there.
So that's got a place in my heart. But the rest of it, I just feel like I'm back in school.
One in Monica Partridge.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I accidentally walked into it when I was trying to find a different room.
Yeah, we would go in there sometimes if we couldn't use Trent, which was quite. It's nice in there.
Quite like it. Have you ever joined the theatre society? Is that part of Nottingham New Theatre or musicality or anything like that?
No, I can't act. Like, I loved drama GCSE and I loved it for A-level, I loved it for theatre, but I watch videos of myself acting, I'm like, oh gosh. It's just something about being on a stage that I love,
and you've never
and performing and stuff.
Party behind the scenes or?
Yes, kind of, yeah. Obviously social media that I did for, you know, all of that. And what else?
So would you say you'd rather be on stage than behind the stage?
Possibly, yeah. If I could act and sing and dance, I would love to do musical theatre because that's one of my favourite things ever. But I can't. So there we go.
I did want to quickly ask, favourite musicals? Have you seen
Heathers? Yes, I've seen quite a few. Heathers is my favourite.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Brilliant.
I never really got into Heathers, but I like the idea of it.
It's amazing.
There's a girl on TikTok who I love.
Hannah Lalfa, or Lotha. She's brilliant.
She's
amazing. She was in the ensemble when I saw her. She was so good. And I saw it with Carrie Hope Fletcher back in 2018. And also like Dear Evan Hansen. To be fair, I'm not, like I say, I did my dissertation on musical theatre. So I did it on how social media is shaping the West End and musical theatre and stuff. So a bit of both. And where was I going with that?
Musicals.
It's gone. Musical theatre. I'm not very acquainted with older musicals. Do you know what I mean? Like Chicago.
I struggle with the old
ones. I can't really get into them. And I'm not even the biggest fan of Les Mis or Hamilton. I hate to say it.
The reason I love Les Mis is because we did it at school.
Yeah, fair.
One of those ones where it's like, we did it at school. It was a big production. I wasn't in it, but I was the smoke machine.
The smoke machine.
I've always been a behind the scenes person, as I say. All my friends were in theater, so very much around that sort of area of things. I'd be on the production side of things. But yeah, I was the smoke machine in Les Mis.
That's amazing. That's so good.
My favourite thing I've ever
done. What did you do? You just had to press were you actually the smoke machine?
I clicked the button.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I was smoke machine operator, maybe.
Yeah.
I wasn't dressed up as smoke.
Ooh. Go.
All right. I've got two last questions.
Lovely.
I've been asking everyone.
Yeah.
They're a little bit opposites of each other.
Okay.
I'll ask them both to you at the same time just because we do need to wrap up. We've gone a bit over. First thing is proudest achievement.
Wow.
And these are both questions you can take as deeply or as shallowly as you like.
Yeah.
And the other one is, what are you looking forward to?
Oh my goodness, they're big questions.
But they don't have to be. You can take it as, I'm looking forward to my pizza tonight. You know what I mean?
That's fair. That's fair.
It can be,
I'm going to the pub later
and I'm excited for that.
I'm going for a curry later. I'm very excited for that.
Where are you going?
The Gurkha Express in Beeston.
Never been, but I think
it's good. It's good. Ollie used to live in Beeston, I think. No, he didn't. That's
I
a
live
lie.
In Beeston.
You live in Beeston.
So
Ollie's somehow knows the Gurkha Express really well. I can't remember how, but he used to go a lot in second and third year. Yeah. Biggest achievement? Gosh, oh God, I don't know. To be honest, probably starting my TikTok. I know it sounds so weird, but it was one of those things where I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone. And I was quite proud of that I spent time looking into it. And I know that now it's a bit more easy just to be like, I'll just make a video. But at the time, it was really like, you've got to know the algorithm.
And it also was a very big thing to do. Like, whenever people... I mean, I've consumed a lot of YouTube in my day, shall
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just, like, hearing anyone who's ever started a YouTube channel talk being like, starting is the hard bit.
Yeah.
So you're scared maybe friends are going to find you and think you're weird or something like that. And I think definitely TikTok now is a lot more, I'd say, socially acceptable.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's never not been. As soon as you get success with something, people be like, oh, that's amazing, you're doing that. But if you're making TikToks and getting, like, a couple hundred views, which, you know, everyone who makes TikToks, if you put a TikTok out, you're going to get at least, normally get, like, at least 100 views.
Yeah.
It's that sort of tricky thing to start with. And definitely the sort of time you were starting it before COVID, not everyone had started doing it yet.
Oh, 100%. It was a bit weird. It was. And I knew that at the time. And I had people coming up to me being like, it's a bit cringy. I'm like, yeah, I know. But I'm getting, you know, followers from it. And like, I don't really care because I enjoy it. But no, I loved it. And the whole people getting recognised was such a buzz. And it was something that, like, I just said, like, I love broadcast journalism and I've always wanted to be a presenter. And it was like that kind of little taste of fame in a way, what could be. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really fun. And you know, when you're younger, everyone wants to be famous, but it was like that, but without being really like big or anything like that. So it was like, there's a little taste of it. But yeah, I think pushing myself out of my comfort zone, doing that, and the opportunities that I've had from it have been incredible. Like doing Social Media for Crisis. In my CV, I always put that I started my own platform. Doing Crisis, I worked with a company called Unihomes for a year, where I did like marketing for them. 1080 UK, that was a social media magazine that I mentioned earlier. I did the social media for the for the Welfare Network here at UON for a couple of months. That was during COVID. And just having brands like reach out to me and be like, well, could you make some content for us? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So there's always new things coming from it. And it's not just my own, it's not just the platform. It's like the things kind of branched out from it that have come from it. So I'd say that is like the core start of it, if that makes sense. But yeah.
I love it.
And I think I'm looking forward to my curry tonight.
Yes. It sounds like it's going to be amazing. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun. Honestly, it's been great. This is like my dream.
I'm glad. And I'm hoping everyone will say positive things and then I'll get more people who want to come on the podcast.
Yes. Oh, I'll definitely promote it.
Yeah. I'll get Ollie on and see if he mentions you.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, because
No, I'll sit him down and go, so Ollie, I've heard about this hoodie.
Yes, no, you should.
Massive, massive thank you again to Izzy Hunter for being on the show today. As we mentioned a little bit, she does have a TikTok account, which you should definitely follow. She's Boys Like You on TikTok, and she has her radio show, The Izzy and Izzy Show, which you can find on Instagram at izzyandizzy.urn, or make sure you're listening to them on University Radio Nottingham. And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.